Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
And what's up, everybody? How's everybody doing today? Dave Sturcio here with another episode of Destruction 101 podcast brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network and B Plus Player Radio Network. I want to thank those guys, as always, for putting up all my stuff every week. Unfortunately, eventually, I'm going to try to branch off. I mean, I have to start uploading my own stuff, get it on iTunes myself if I want to keep and continue to grow my own brand. It's a great help, don't get me wrong. Having these guys edit my shows, not so much edit it, just upload it, and maybe throw on a commercial here and there. I know that's what Haggerty does. Same thing with the Wizards. But eventually, I have to do something for me and have to get off of this network. But that's down the road. I hope everybody has having a good week. It's the middle of the week, so we're halfway home to the weekend. Nothing going on for me until February 19th, which I start refereeing adult football. So I am going to Ed Hockley the shit out of a flag football league that I used to play in every Monday night until late April, I believe. But my next appearance as far as ring announcing is concerned will not happen until February 24th in Totowa, brother. It's Rob Fury's 100th show with the SWF. I'm happy to be there. Happy to come back. Happy to say hello to a couple old friends and happy to squash any beef that I might possibly have self-inflicted. So I'm going to hopefully get rid of that. But anyway, I'm recording this right now from live from on a Tuesday night, Tuesday evening, live from my new man attic, which gives me better acoustics and makes me sound a little better than I already do. Just getting my voice back. It's been one hell of a weekend. I'm telling you right now, it was something that I never saw coming as far as reactions and exposure and just overall just awesomeness. Obviously, what I'm talking about is the Colby Covington thing, that the segment that was down on whatchamacallit. We presented that on Brace for Impact of WrestlePro over the weekend. A phenomenal crowd. I cannot thank the city of Rahway and everybody else or from anywhere else that anybody else attended from. I know people come from longer distances. I mean, Lisa, one of our bigger fans, comes all the way from San Antonio, Texas. So shout out to Lisa for coming all the way down to Rahway, New Jersey, gets her flight. I mean, that's pretty surreal. Like, you think about people doing this for WrestleMania and shit and like different like pay-per-views for WWE, but this is independent wrestling. And WrestlePro has obviously made a lot of waves over the last couple of years. And for somebody to travel like that, that's something to be said for the company of having at least the goods for somebody to spend the money on a flight. So obviously the show came and went, and it was surreal, top to bottom, left to right. It was just every match had its own element. We had a couple matches in the pre-show. We had CPA taking on Johnny Clash. It was epic, and we witnessed Johnny Clash's first win at WrestlePro, which I tend, as a broadcaster, not to want to know the results going in. So I stopped looking for them. Usually, like promoters sometimes circle the winners and stuff, and sometimes that gets out, and it's like people get butt hurt and shit like that. Like Pat makes it a point not to do that. The match card is listed. I write it out on a white dry erase board. We put the referees, we put the times. Never circle or underline the winner and like that. Gives the element of surprise, especially for me as a broadcaster. I like to kind of be surprised. So when Johnny Clash won his first match, I was pleasantly surprised. We locked eyes as soon as it happened, and we shared a moment of utter disbelief. So CPA once again in the month of January and or February does the job for somebody else. He did this for me in 2015, and he does it for Johnny Clash in 2018. So props to CPA. Book CPA to wrestle, for crying out loud. He's very entertaining, very funny dude. He needs to be, even if he's not like your comedy spot for the matches, he can wrestle. That's the thing. You know, he can wrestle. He's good. He's been trained under Pat Buck, so he knows what he's doing. He knows how to put together a match. Like, get CPA on your show. Just do it. Tell him I sent you. So then he can stop being mad at me for, I don't know, any other times that he's been mad at me. So anyway, like I said, the matches were incredible. Clearly, like, the ones that stood out were your Danny Moff and Johnny Impacts, and the three-way between Bowens, McIntosh, and Eli Drake. Dipsy put on a phenomenal performance. I know we previewed his match coming up against Moose, and it was incredible. Hard-hitting, finally. You know, like, there was a couple matches where it was like rah-rah, not hokey, but just like very character-oriented spots for the first couple matches. And like the opening match for WrestlePro was for the main show was a six-man tag, which is kind of like all over the place, like, but that's expected out of a six-man tag with a lot of talent getting some of their, you know, playing their greatest hits per se. And so like the Moose and Donovan match was really the first hard-hitting match of the night, and people were feeling, you know, the hits and the punches from the bleachers, so it was definitely something to be said for that. But obviously, on a personal and a selfish standpoint, the Colby Covington thing was just unbelievable. Like, when I was approached with this idea about a month ago, I guess 3 weeks ago, whenever Kevin came up to me and told me about it, and bringing on, you know, Colby and John Hartnett from American Top Team, you know, they have the Impact Wrestling stuff going on, and that was just awesome. I thought, you know, all right, cool, let's bring this in. And I'm a huge MMA and UFC fan, so this is even cooler for me as a fan, you know, getting to meet the number three ranked welterweight in the world. So the idea was pitched. There was a couple ideas going back and forth, but at the end of the day, we wanted to stage a fight between you know, Colby and Tyquil Woodley, which is a mock of a Tyrone Woodley, or Tyron Woodley, however you want to pronounce it, who happens to be the welterweight champion of the UFC. So we, you know, we talked about doing it. You know, Kevin came up to me and said, you know, the two nights before, he said, you know, you're going to have to buffer this up. Like, Bruce buffer the shit out of this. And I was like, okay, you know. So I've been watching Bruce Buffer for a long time. I'm a huge fan of his. I'm a huge fan of his work. Him and his brother, like, I'm a big fan of good announcers that can get the fucking crowd pumped. You know what I mean? So I know he did. He always gets me pumped every time I watch a UFC show or an event. So I, you know, so I told him, all right, yeah, good. You know, I'm all over it, you know. So I started YouTubing a couple things, not because I've never seen it, but just to get the verbiage down. And I didn't want to do like a mock, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to disrespect Bruce Buffer and what he does for the world of announcing and broadcasting. He's also a podcast host, so like, imagine listening to his awesome voice for however long his podcasts are. I've never listened to him yet, and I probably should. So I went into this and I said, all right, I'll do my best. And we did it during pre-show, and Kevin was like, whoa, you know, like, holy shit, we need to do this. Like, you need to do that. Like, identical to what you just did, you need to do that at the show. And I said, yeah, of course, you know. And then, like, on top of that, like, if you listen to it and you watched it back, and I'm sure you've heard it, you know, I'm screaming and I'm yelling and, like, I'm Bruce Buffering the shit out of this thing. But it's really just me dialed up to, like, 25, 30 decibels as opposed to my normal 8 to 10. All right, so it's just me times, like, double what I usually do. But, yeah, did I do the fighting? You know, I did that. And I did this is time instead of it's time so I can't get fucking sued. So I did that, obviously, for that reason only, because clearly, if I wasn't worried about a lawsuit, I would have just did his it's time. But anyway, so I did it in pre-show for Kevin only. And obviously, the guys that were setting up the ring, the guys that were walking around the venue, everybody kind of got a kick out of it. You know, Chad Minez was there, Standalone Wrestling. He came in. He was representing Colby for the day. So he was there. He said it was awesome. Check that out, standalonewrestling.com on Facebook. They're about to launch off as well. But and I told him, I was like, hey, if you need a ring announcer, like, all of a sudden, I'm just stepping on toes again, and truly, I don't give a shit. If you need somebody, I'm there. But anyway, so I do that for him, and then Colby gets there with John Hartnett, you know, American Top Team running full strong, you know, just whatever. They're in the building. And Kevin's so excited about this. You know, I meet Colby. He seems like an awesome dude. I meet John. He's even cooler. These guys are really cool to me. And they're like, hey, listen, you know, we're going to do this. Let's dry run again. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I got to scream again? Like, how am I going to do this for the event? So I do it again. And they're like, they're getting a kick out of it. They're loving every second of it. And at this point, when it's over, like, for that pre-session again, I was like, I need to do something. Like, I have, like, these lemon drops or honey drops or whatever. I'm sucking those down like a madman, drinking plenty of water. But by, like, no bullshit. And usually I have, ask anybody, I have the most energy out of anybody in that fucking building. I don't care. Like, I'm always jazzed up from the time I walk in to the time I leave. And by pre-show, I was, like, drained. I don't know what happened, but I was, like, exhausted. So my friend Jess is in attendance. You know, shout out to her and her awesome son for being there again, supporting me. But she's like, you know, I got this monster over here if you want to chug this. And I was like, yeah, sure. Later on that evening, Fallo knocked over the monster and almost ruined all the broadcast. But anyway, I digress on that one. So, you know, we go over it. We're good to go. And then the moment's there. I introduce Colby, he comes out, then he calls out Woodley, and we're like, oh my God, is this going to happen? And then the Tron hits, and Tyquil Woodley comes out, and he comes out in all his glory, you know, shirt off. The hair and the beard were like on point, and we told him that. We're like, dude, you nailed it. And he came out, and I said, you know, like I kind of shrugged my shoulders, and I said, I guess we're gonna have a fight here, you know, like here we go. So, and now, and here we go, and I just fucking... I took it, made it my own, and I got really excited, and we just rolled with it, and I think I did a decent job. It's currently going crazy on my YouTube channel right now, which like, I used to get excited, and I still get excited for like 3, 4, 5 views. You know, when I get to like 70, I'm like, boom, I'm kicking ass right now. This thing is about to approach, as you guys are listening, it's going to be Wednesday, so I'm not sure of the number, but as of right now, as I'm recording, it's 6:40 at night, and it's almost at 50,000 views. A lot of hate, not on me. Colby is not the most liked guy via the fan base. They think he's a loudmouth. But honestly, dude, this is what you need to be done. You know, UFC, it's not like they're struggling or hurting for money or anything like that. But, like, you know, they do need to have that big draw of talent, and they need that big moment. And I truly believe with all this stuff and all this momentum, like not even bullshitting you, I literally Googled Tyron Woodley today as I'm, you know, putting together my Daily Dose of Dave on my YouTube channel. And the third most highest search top story is the WrestlePro event. You know what I mean? So it's like we did something right here. And I think Kevin knocked it out of the park as far as, you know, getting this together and like really putting it together and like letting me be a part of it. Like, it was surreal. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, and I don't like to bring up the past, but there's been people that went on record that said Kevin Matthews being ahead of creative was a bad move or was a bad thing for WrestlePro. And I'm sitting here like, wait a minute, everybody's getting a match against Impact Wrestling stars. Like, this is a good thing. You know, so anybody who has said that, you know, things were on the downs for WrestlePro, you're clearly looking foolish right now. And, you know, I would still let it it's funny, you hear the little chimes in the background, and that's just new comment after new comment on this video, the Tyquil and Kobe video. People are hating on it. People are loving it. It's just, it's so cool. Like, my following on Instagram and Twitter has gone up. Like, this is exactly what I wanted. And I truly, truly need just one person, one, to say, we need that guy on our show, referring to me as, like, the announcer or whatever. You know, John Hartnett is blowing up my head, like saying, you know, Bruce better watch out. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, he is getting old if he croaks. You know, like, I would never wish anybody to literally just die. But, like, I would say, like, if he's done soon and he can't do it anymore, like, maybe they need a younger face. Like, who the fucking knows, man? I truly believe in myself and my abilities, and having it and hearing it from everybody else around me, my loved ones, and just people are just my brother who, like, look. My brother was my biggest fucking fan when I first started wrestling. He was at every event, front row, just like high fives and fucking rooting me on and just going crazy. And then over time, like, He just he grew out of it, and he saw that I got hurt, and he just didn't want to be not associated with it, but he wanted me to just make smarter decisions. But this morning, Tuesday morning, he texted me. He's like, "Dude, you're on fucking Barstool Sports. Teamstream, and which is our app. Like, we love Teamstream. If you don't have it, get it. It gets you pretty much up to date everything with any sport you want, even WWE. He hits me up. He's like, "Dude, this article's on Teamstream about you. I can't believe this. I'm so fucking proud of you." Like, that really does bring it all together for me, because I know it sounds silly. I'm 32 years old. My brother's turning 30 in May. So he's 2 years younger than me. And I'm continuously trying to impress him. And I look up to him. I feel like he's obviously financially more successful than me right now. He's doing amazing, amazing things. I couldn't be more proud of him. I love him more than anybody on this planet, and that's the truth. And it really like makes me really, really happy when he's happy of what I'm doing. And him being proud of me is like, you don't understand. It's surreal. But like I said, the video's going nuts. All the MMA websites are going crazy. Twitter's going nuts. Like, you search Colby Covington on Twitter and just hit the latest. Boom, man, there's every damn forum and website and all sorts of shit. And then Kevin hits me with the bombshell this morning. I woke up. See, me and Kevin have different sleep schedules. You know, I go to bed at hopefully 10, 11. He goes to bed at like 4, 5 so in the morning. So he's up at all hours of the night. He sends me something overnight, and I woke up, and it was a forum on SureDog. And SureDog is the top MMA. It's like the wrestle zone of mixed martial arts, like the biggest of the big. And he shows me this clip where the guy, you know, the headline is like Colby Covington versus Tyquil Woodley, and in parentheses, and the announcer is better than Buffer. And I'm like, oh my God, like, are you fucking kidding? Like, I lost my shit this morning, and I was very happy about it, and I was emotional about it. Literally, I get teary-eyed over this stuff. Like, this is what you do to make it. Like, you try to go viral. Like, look at, all right, and I'm not comparing myself to anybody else, but a guy like a Joey Janela in the world of professional wrestling, guy jumps off a fucking roof and boom, he blows up. You know, do I think it's the smartest move in the world physically? No, but I think it's huge. It's on ESPN. It gets blown up. When Mr. Belding was around, you know, there was things where Mr. Belding was putting people through tables and stunning people, and TMZ's all over it. And like, not that he needed the press because he's Mr. Belding and he's the man, but like the company I was working for at the time, PWS, got the press and they got what they needed out of it. Like, this is exactly what happened to me. And this is the first time it's ever happened to me. You know, I used to get excited when WrestleZone used to just report the cards of PWS, like just saying like, oh, Dave Destruction fights Damian Gibbs for the 78th time. You know what I mean? Like, just to see my name on a website was awesome. But now to see my face attached to a video that is literally across the world. I'm talking MMA England, MMA fucking India, everybody, even Brazil, who fucking hate Colby. Like, these people are sharing this video. The eyes are, it's on everybody. And it's just, it's awesome, and it's awesome to be a part of. Excuse me, had to adjust. Awesome to be a part of, and just surreal, man. And it's just, there's just something to be said for all this crazy shit. And I'm very humble, and I'm very happy. You know, if I post a lot about it, it's because I'm just fucking excited, man. I'm so excited. And you know, and look, I literally just got a text from John Hartnett saying 49.5. So now we're 500 views away from 50,000 people seeing this shit, and this is exactly what I wanted, and I couldn't be happier and more motivated and just pumped as shit, man. Just pumped. And I know this could look, if I get the views and exposure and my social media grows a little bit, great. But the ultimate goal here is to have somebody be like, okay, this fucking dude can bring it, and we need him. We need him on board with everything that we're doing. I could promote, I could market, and you know, like, this is one of those things where I'm just really, I'm just jazzed up right now, and it's been a really good day, and a really good week since it's happened. You know, we'll get into the Super Bowl after the break, but final score, I won a fucking Super Bowl pox pool, and I've never won any of those things, and it just so happens that I split it with my brother. You know, $25 boxes. I bought two. So I was like, Danny, just throw me $25. We're good. Now, in this box pool, it's different. Like, you're not, you know how sometimes, if you know what box pools are, it's when the numbers, you know, like you put your name in a box and whatever numbers you draw, you got to hope for those numbers to come out. In this box pool, being that this guy who runs it, can't see everybody, you know, can't go around and be like, oh my God, you know, fill in your name. The boxes are labeled 1 through 100 because there's 100 boxes. So you pick the number box you want, and then it's drawn. The numbers are drawn on Super Bowl Sunday. So out of pure love and just heart, I picked the box 2 and 15. 2-15 is my grandma's birthday, which is coming up. You know, she passed away back in 2012. She didn't get to see my first wrestling match, but she knew I started the train, and she passed away. She passed away around the same time the school opened. That's not true. She passed away 2 months prior to me joining the school. So, you know, her name was initialed. Her initials were in my gloves. She's been with me since Jump Street. My favorite person in the world. I'm not going to get sidetracked. But anyway, I played those numbers. 2-15. That's what I wanted. Box 2 and box 15. Don't care what came out. Just that's what I want. And box 2 won. So, you know, me and my brother split $1,250. So, boom. So we're going to take a break. We'll take a listen to our sponsor. Like I said, Jeremy Thompson's Best of Enemies. His play comes out right after Valentine's Day. There's nothing more romantic than a nice play. You're not going to obviously do anything on Valentine's Day. It's a Wednesday night. So if you work during the week, we know you can't get anything done. So plan something. Go see a play. Go see Best of Enemies featuring Jeremy Thompson. We'll be back right after this.
In the mid-20th century, civil rights activist Ann Atwater and exalted cyclops of the Durham chapter of the Ku Klux Klan, Claiborne Paul, C.P. Ellis, crossed paths and locked horns on the school integration issues during an emotionally charged civil rights movement in Durham, North Carolina, at a time when racial tension and prejudice were at dangerous levels. In 1971, thanks to the persuasion of community organizer Bill Riddick, the two reluctantly find themselves co-chairs of a committee to tackle the problems on their town's education system. Along with Riddick's idealism and the level-headedness of his wife, Mary, both Ann and CP begin to see that they have more common ground with their supposed enemy than they realize as they confront the prejudice within themselves as well as each other. A play based on true events, written by Mark St. Germain, inspired by Osha Gray Davidson's book of the same name, Best of Enemies, directed by Bill Mutimer, stars a small cast with Katina Gordon Green as Ann Atwater, Jeremy Thompson as C.P. Ellis, Jamal Clayton as Bill Riddick, and Bessie Amato as Mary Ellis. The show opens on February 15th through the 17th at 7:30 p.m. in the Lipkin Theater at Northampton Community College on 3835 Green Pond Road, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Admission is a canned good donation or a monetary donation to the Norman Roberts Scholarship Fund. Tickets are available at the door, but for those looking to reserve them in advance, please call 610-861-5524 or email ncc_theater_tickets@northampton.edu. Warning, there will be language used in this play that may come off racially offensive.
Thank you, Jeremy Thompson. Like I said, definitely go check out that play. Jeremy's a very talented individual, and I'm strongly behind all of his moves in his career. I think Jeremy might even come back to train at the Creator Pro New Jersey school. We've been in talks about it, and I think that if he has the time and the money and the dedication, that he should get in there, because who knows, man, if you have this acting skills behind you and you want to be a manager or something like that, like, I think that works completely to your advantage. So anyway, I guess we can go stay with wrestling for now, and then we can close with your questions and the Super Bowl reaction. But I said it last night on my Facebook about the new WWE superstars on the rise. Like, you got your Cenas and the Reigns and the fucking Ambroses and the whoever, Brock Lesnar, all your big names. Even Braun Strowman's a big name now. But here are a couple things that have happened. Email just sent. I don't know if you heard that little thing. Three guys that have been catching my attention lately and I'm just obsessed with now are, whatchamacallit? Elias, who I think is a stud. I mean, he's got the size, the build, the beard. He's just awesome. He's got the crowd with him. I'm a big fan of Elias. I've always been a big fan of The Miz. I think The Miz is like hitting a stride again. I don't know how much time he might miss because of the birth of his kid. Don't know if that's going to affect or anything like that. But he's on a roll right now. And the Usos, man, I don't know what it is. Like, them being just real-life dudes instead of, like, you know, and I'm not knocking the Samoan thing because obviously that's who they are. That's their heritage, and that worked for a very long time. But when they saw that it was getting not stale but just not catching the attention of the fans, they changed it up, got real street, got real hood, and I think it's working tremendously. So I just wanted to make a quick mention about that because, like I said, it's been surreal. Coliseum Video just dropped some of their material on the WWE Network, which, again, it makes the $9.99 that I spent every month so worth it. You don't understand. On the treadmill today, I realized it was like under collections, and it was like Coliseum Video. I'm like, what the fuck? No way. And I clicked on it, and I saw right away, I scrolled for like a second, and I saw 1991 Coliseum Video Greatest Champions. The history behind Greatest Champions, and I said this on Facebook, was that when I was a kid, obviously, I told everybody that my first segment I ever watched was the Barbershop Window. I believe that happened in 92. So when 92 hit, I didn't know anything about WWF or WWE or anything like that. I didn't know anything. All I saw was Shawn Michaels throw Marty Jannetty through a plate glass window, and for whatever reason, Brutus the Barber Beefcake had half pants on. Like, I had no idea what I was watching. So I said, all right, I got to familiarize myself. What do I do? Well, me and my mom, we had an Easy Video membership, okay, which I think her membership got stripped like 17 different times because she just never wanted to return her tapes. My mom is just, was infamous for late fees. But anyway, I got a chance to rent whatever I wanted at the time. And at the time was Coliseum Video's Greatest Champions. And this was 91. So I familiarized myself with the five they selected for this VHS, which was Hogan, Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior, Mr. Perfect, and the Hart Foundation. So it's like right away, I saw all this shit that was happening with those guys and how they came about and when they won their titles, how they won their titles. Go check it out on the WWE Network. I lost my shit. Literally texted my wife. I said, look, next to getting married, the wedding day, this might be the greatest day of my life with this shit. Because I said to myself, I said, I wish I can go back to my mom's house, go and look through boxes and find this fucking VHS, go buy a VCR, go watch this shit because I missed it and I memorized that shit when I was a kid. So literally, when I found it on the network today, I almost did like a fucking total 180 on the treadmill, almost fell and bust my fucking face. It was amazing to watch it, and I watched about 35 minutes of it, and I'm going to watch the rest tonight because it's just awesome, just so cool. A little nostalgia, you know, I'm a big fan of the back-in-the-day stuff. Super Bowl. Okay, well, there's not much to react about because it is what it is as far as the game itself. Like I stated before the break, I want some cheddar, so that's good. However, you know, going into the game, I truly thought, I'm like, okay, you know, the Patriots offense is just superior to most in the NFL, and the Eagles defense is good, so it worried me, but not enough. And here comes Nick Foles, and I'm like, the Patriots defense got this, you know, like they can handle Nick Foles, right? Like, it makes sense. And they just couldn't. And for whatever reason, and I haven't read up yet too much after last night, but Malcolm Butler was benched. Don't really get it. I mean, I'll look into it more. Looks like it was a coach's decision. I don't know if he broke the rules. I don't know what he was doing to be benched at the Super Bowl, which, again, holy fuck. You know, like, it's the Super Bowl. Like, what can you have possibly done to ruin that chance for you to play in the game? But, you know, hats off mostly to Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach. I mean, this dude was taking risk after risk. And I think on Monday morning, if he took all these risks and they didn't pay off, he's the dumbest coach in the NFL. Going for it on fourth down on your own 40. Going for it on fourth and two and doing a trick play. These are all decisions that normal coaches wouldn't make. You know, like this is what he did and wanted to do because that's what he thought was necessary. And I'm telling you right now, they've paid off and he's got himself a Super Bowl ring. And it pains me to say it, but it's the truth. I think the division as a whole is on the ups. I don't know what the Redskins are going to do with Alex Smith. No idea. The Cowboys have a couple pieces they really need to address in the offseason, and the Giants will get better. It's just the way football works. Me and my dad were looking at Wikipedia the other day on Super Bowl Sunday. We like to, you know, go back in memory lane. And I love – I know this sounds corny. I love my dad. You know what I mean? Like, he fucking knows so much shit. And that's where I get all my, quote, knowledge from. And he really – he raised me as a Cowboy fan. But he, boy, does he always pump me full of knowledge every time I'm at the house. So he, me and him are going down memory lane of old starting quarterbacks. But we're also, you know, going through what the hell were we going through? What was I – shit. I got sidetracked, said I love my dad, which I do. So I blame him for this. But anyway, so like I said, the Super Bowl comes and goes. It's an amazing game. I don't know. I lost my train of thought with the Giants. I said the Giants are going to get better. And they will. They definitely stole the show as far as commercials are concerned. A lot of people shat on it. I thought it was fucking amazing. And shout out to my trainer and WrestlePro founder, Pat Buck, and Anthony Bones for being in that commercial as extras booked on that shit via Michael Lyons and BMG and the agency that I'm supposed to be working for, but I can't get my fucking demo reel done, so that's something I have to work on as well. I've been busy, and it's a good busy. It's a good busy. I'm 77 pages into Gary Vaynerchuk's book, which is really, really inspiring, and it's definitely teaching me a lot of stuff, but I haven't even got into the techniques and stuff that he's going to teach me on how to solve the algorithms that are Facebook, because Facebook's getting out of control as far as like what people see you post. I don't know. It's crazy because I have, you know, oh my God, like 1,300 friends or something like that. And like some things will get like one like. And I'm not thinking that people are being prickish. You know what I mean? Like they see it and they're like, I don't like this. You know what I mean? Like they're not I don't think they're seeing it. So, oh, and shout out to the Philadelphia Eagle fans. I have a couple that I can tolerate. People that have been through the grinder and waiting for this day forever. Referee Kevin Keenan, the Blue Meanie, you know, Danny Cage over at the Monster Factory. These guys they're good people. So when they see, you know, the Eagles win the championship, my heart goes out to them because they've been waiting a long time. However, the savagery that the city of Philadelphia has produced because of this win. Like, can you imagine if they lost the game? Like, I don't know if it would be any different, to be brutally honest. I don't know. I have no idea. But, like, are you kidding me? You know, and people on social media, on my Facebook, are justifying it and saying, like, well, you know, somebody got shot in Dallas. Like, oh, okay. You mean murder? That happens every day of every fucking year for the rest of your life? Like, that's going to happen. There are shitty people out there. These are fans that are supposed to be happy. They just won the Super Bowl for the first time in their history, okay? So what are you going out, tipping over cars, jumping off awnings, eating horse shit, literally, like not even fucking joking, like trashing windows? And one guy, oh my God, one guy was like, it was one window. Okay, one window's too much. I don't know if you've noticed, but that's definitely vandalism and it's illegal. So the people justifying this are unbelievable. And then like people comment like, well, that's not me. Okay, great. It's not you. Thank God it's not you. I got Giant fans that live in Philly right now who have to like lock their doors and fucking go into a corner and put a towel over their head just to make sure nobody sees them. It's ridiculous. They should be ashamed of themselves. I remember in 2009, I remember this specifically because I lost my job because I lied. It's a funny little story. I was working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car because they give you the tools to be your own boss. It was my first real full-time job, and I was fucking a car rental expert or whatever the fuck you call those people. But the Yankees had won the World Series that year. My father went on a honeymoon because he got married to my wonderful stepmother, and who I call bonus mom because it's not really a step. It's a bonus. I got a lot of bonuses in this world. You know, like they're just awesome people in my life. But what was I saying? Okay, so they go on their honeymoon, and the Yankees win the World Series. And, you know, I remember calling out of work, and they said, because you know when the parade's coming. It's always like a couple days notice. But they said, do not take off of work because of the parade. You will be fired. And I remember calling out sick at 5 in the morning. Left a message on my guy, my area manager. His name's Don. I'll never forget it. And I said I was sick. I didn't feel good. Wasn't coming in. Because 5 a.m. was when I woke up to get on the train to go drink in New York City. But I we went and I saw Craig Carton and Boomer Show over at a bar. Like, we are having a good time laughing, cheering, high-fiving every Yankee fan in the crowd. Then you see the team come in with their fucking on the floats and the ticker tape going nuts. Everybody's having a great time. Nobody decided, hey, let's push over shit. Nobody said, let's fight horses. Nobody, like, that is not a commonplace. And I was told by a bunch of Giant fans that when the Giants won the Super Bowl, when they beat the Patriots twice, there was nothing like this. Nothing. And like I said, back to when I got fired, my brother and I got caught on Fox News. So it was like, you know, I got a message like, hey, Dave, saw you on the news. You're going to have to come and get your stuff. And I was just like, awesome. Well worth it. Totally fucking worth it. But anyway, So that's, you know, the city of Philadelphia should be ashamed of themselves. They don't know how they can't act like they've been there before, because obviously they haven't been there before. But whatever. I mean, it's silly. Anyway, getting to your questions before I wrap this bad boy up, because I'm hungry and I want to eat dinner. Let's see. Here we go. Mike Malario, Malaro, I don't fucking know. I forgot again. I'm sorry. How did Colby Covington's segment even come about? And when you guys put up that together, did you expect it would blow up like it did? Kevin had this idea of that it was going to explode. I didn't know. I know the MMA world is a big world. It's just like pro wrestling, where there's just diehard, crazy, crazy fans. But I don't know. I didn't know it was going to get like this. And it's crazy. Carlos Aristi, why is Carlos the man? Carlos, I cannot thank you enough for sending me over that footage real quick. We got fan cam footage from Adam Bazaar's girlfriend, Crystal, who's a phenomenal person. She always records and takes great pictures. And on the immediate, I got that. But Carlos, man, you fucking delivered big time. And I'm so excited that I got to put all this out there and blow the fuck up as much as it has. Dan Sobey, can you put a plug in for best caterer in the league? Yes, my boy Jihad. If you ever need catering, okay, I mean, they're going to become a sponsor eventually and pay me for this. But if you ever need catering, go to my boy Jihad Campbell. Find him on Facebook. That's JahadCampbell. And go to his Facebook, Adam. I believe bestcaterinthaleague.com is the website. He does all your crazy catering. He catered the entire Super Bowl party that I stopped by to get my numbers and left. It's just a preference. I'd rather watch the game quietly with my dad, you know, and if the Cowboys are in it one day down the line, then we're all there. But thank you to Jihad for the awesome food. Jeremy Thompson, what anti-riot security measures would you apply in the major cities to slow down the chaos of rowdy fans? And I already replied, poison gas. That's the truth. Poison them all. Fucking kill them. Who cares? But anyway, Franklin Myers, why does it concern you when I comment on your post during school hours? Well, considering I'm in a school and none of my kids are allowed to have a phone during the school hours, that's what it concerns me, because you're not supposed to be on the phone. But congratulations, Mr. Myers. I know me and you went back and forth for a long time. And, you know, all these little chimes and stuff you hear in the background, people subscribing to my YouTube channel. Thank you so fucking much. Like, this is so cool. But yeah, so me and him have had our words, but hey man, congratulations, dude. Like, you deserve it. You rode and died and ride and die with the Philadelphia Eagles. Just don't grow up to be one of those fans, you know, don't drink, don't ever drink a sip of alcohol. Just be a good boy. But, that's going to do it for this week. Like I said, an amazing, amazing week, weekend. Couple great, great things coming up. I'm very excited to be a part of. There's just so much on the table right now, and I can't thank all the people that have rode with me this entire time and supported me. You know, the future is bright, hopefully, you know. I'm very optimistic about everything. But follow me on all my social medias. Thank you so much for subscribing to the YouTube channel. Definitely subscribe to this on iTunes or however you guys listen. Rate and review. Share it. I just recently finally figured out how to make my profile public. I think I had that on private for, I guess, whatever reasons. I don't know. But people are adding me, and it's awesome. All this stuff is growing. All this shit is awesome. You guys have a great week. Make sure you tune into all the podcasts that you hear on the B+ Player Radio Network and the Shining Wizards Network. and Pat Buck show, Pat Buck Wrestle Pro show, which I'm sure he'll record about, you know, the happenings of the show. Go support Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, who I know looks forward to the Daily Dose of Dave every single day. He told me that, man to man, on Saturday. Joking or not, people are fucking talking about it. Have a good night, guys.
Zemlji miloj, lijepoj i dalekoj, u godini gospodnjoj, 600 i nekoj, spustila se na tu zemlju sila. Plava je krv, narod predvodila. Zemlja, kamen, puca, kroz nebeska vrata.